So we're really excited to hear about his story and what God has been doing in his life and through his ministries. So I'm just going to open us up with prayer and pray over Richard, and then he's going to take it away. So God, we are so thankful that you are in this place and that we can know you in such a true and intimate way. God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts today, that you would speak through Richard today, and that it would encourage us and draw us closer to you. Right now, we want to bless Richard and his ministry and his family. God, that you would continue to do a good work in and through him, and that his stories today would truly inspire us to draw closer to you. So we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning. I am happy to be with you this morning, and my greeting from Ottawa, the capital, to Edmonton. And I am feeling I am in the same space. Ottawa is a small place, and Edmonton, same space, without a lot of jam and traffic. Praise the Lord for that. This morning I have a special message from you. And this message, we'll read it from 1 Samuel 22, starting from verse 1 to verse 5. And it's about David the king. David left Gaz and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. All those who were in distress or in debt or discounted, gathered around him, and he became their commander. About 400 men were with him. From there, David went to Mizpah in Moab and said to the king of Moab, "Would you let my father and mother come and stay with you until I learn what God will do for me?" So he left them with the king of Moab, and they stayed with him as long as David was in stronghold. But the prophet Gad said to David, "Do not stay in the stronghold. Go into the land of Judah." So David left and went to the forest of Harris. This morning, I have a special message for you. And the message, or the title of my message, is that God will recycle your suffering to be a good weapon in your hand for your comfort and for the comfort of others. And I have a question. Does anyone suffering this morning? I have a question. Does anyone not suffering this morning? There is no one suffering or no one non-suffering? I told you, I will tell you, if someone told me I didn't do anything wrong, why I am suffering, I will be surprised. You know why? Since God created Adam and Eve, and they went from the garden, he promised them, "You will be suffering." Even Jesus, he promised us, "In this world you will suffering, but I will be with you." David, in the book of 1 Samuel, he was suffering for his righteousness without doing anything wrong. He got anointed as a king and he escaped from Saul, and he's afraid to be killed. But in the 2 Samuel, David was also suffering because of his sin. You know, for how long David was suffering and escaping from Saul? A day, 2 days, 1 week, 2 weeks? It's between 10 to 15 years. Joseph also, he suffered for 13 years between slavery and jail. And he mentioned in Genesis 40 that he didn't do anything wrong. While Samson in his jail, who couldn't mention that because of his sin, he went to jail. This morning, maybe you will suffering because of testing or temptation. And there is a difference between both of them. Quickly, testing is from the Lord to shape our gift and our personality for maturity. Temptation is from devil to let us fall in sin. But however, testing or temptation, God will recycle your suffering to be a good weapon in your hand for your comfort and for the comfort of others. How? It's only by submitting your willing to his willing. Look, David was telling the king of Moab, may my father and mother stay with you until what? Stay with you until I learn what God will do for me. Sometimes we pray for knowing the willing of God. And it's a good thing, good prayer. But the bad thing that we are willing, that the willing of God will be under our willing. It's a problem. But David got learned, and I learned from David in 1 Samuel, that many times he was moving from place to another without knowing the willing of God. And he got learned that sometimes God will put you in a place for serving him or in a place for a preparation to serve him. You know Moses, he spent 40 years in Egypt. He thought that he can do it and escape the people, and he failed. Then he put him in the desert for 40 years looking after sheep for preparing his gift, his personality to be humble and do it. The beautiful thing about David while in the cave, lonely in a cold cave, alone outside of his house, his warm bed, alone, without his family, he wrote two psalms, Psalm 57 and Psalm 142. In Psalm 142, he was sharing and he was shouting and say, I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out before him my complaint. Before him I tell my trouble. When my spirit grows faint with me, it's you who watch over my way. In the path where I walk, people have hidden a snare for me. Look and see, there is no one in my right hand. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one care for my life. And it's not only the feeling of David, also Paul was feeling lonely. In 2 Timothy 4:17, he said, at my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me, the message might be fully proclaimed, and all Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. First point, I have 5 points quickly, then I go to the sharing. First point, the Lord will comfort us through brothers and sisters who are around you. Usually, look around you. God will provide brother and sister to comfort you. David realized that the human compassion is a translation of God's goodness. Paul also recognized that, and he was comforted by the presence of Titus. But God, who comfort the downcast, comfort us by the coming of Titus. Dear brothers and sisters, you will see the work of God through normal people, brothers and sisters, around you. David, in Psalm 142, he recognized that God sent around him righteous men and women. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. What's happened? The family of David came to him when they saw he's alone. You know what that means? Couple chapter before, when he was anointed as a king, small shepherd, anointed as a king, his family was neglecting him. He's not eligible to be a king. Also, when he delivered food for his three brothers in the army, the big brother Eliab was mocking of him. Now the three brothers left the army and came to be aside of him. Another thing, God sent for him 400 men. What's lovely. Distress and debt, fire from their house, and problems. Who will encourage who? Does God send the 400 men to encourage David, or David to encourage them? It's how God is working. Second, the Lord comfort us through the love of our brothers and sisters around us. A beautiful problem happened with Moses in Exodus 36, 5-6. When God gave to Moses a plan to build the temple, the tent of prayer, the people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded to be done. Then Moses gave an order, and they sent this word through the camps. And he say, please, no man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary. It's my prayer today, brother and sister, my little children, 1 John 3:18, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deeds and in truth. I pray in these days that the church of God will be in the same level of love that Moses touched. That means if anyone is in trouble, please overcare about him, overcall him, over email him, be in his presence, be aside of him. Third, the Lord will comfort us in a difficult situation. There is no meaning that God will difficult us in good situation. That's why the bad situation is there to be comfort and to comfort others. Even if it's temptation or test, Romans 8:28, Paul mentioned, and we know that all things work together for God, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. God sent for David his family. God sent for David 400 men. And 2 Corinthians 6:10, it's a promise today from the Lord to you. You will be sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. You will be poor, yet making many rich. You having nothing, maybe, and yet possessing everything. And 2 Corinthians 1:4, it's him who comfort us in all our troubles. That he recycle our suffering. That so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Remember, my brother and sister, this morning, God willing, for you is to recycle your suffering to be an effective weapon in your hand for your comfort and for the comfort of others. Fourth, the Lord will comfort us by his presence. The world is tired from lying, from treachery, and from interest, and is looking for honesty, love, and friend. And you know where the world will found it? Do you know where the world will found it? Do you know where is the hope of the world? It's in your living room. The world is waiting for honest doctor, for faithful nurses, for honest worker and pastors. And it's grow up in your living room. In Romans 8:22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in pain of childbirth right up to the present time. In Hebrews 2:18, because he himself, the Lord, suffered when he was tempted, he is also able to help those who are being tempted. Did you recognize why you are tempted? Why you are tested? That you are able to comfort others and feel with them. And you are able to have the compassion of the Lord. In Matthew 9:36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Fifth, it's a first point, last point in my preaching today, and we'll go to the sharing. Why does the world give up the rule of Satan? Why they are stuck under the authority of Satan while they know that? It's because they are aiming that the devil has something to give to them. In 1 Samuel 22, you see Saul the king was promising his folks to give them something material, position, and others. Even the devil, when he tempted Jesus in Matthew 4:9, he say, "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." I will tell you a secret today. The devil is not an engineer. He's not a doctor. He's a businessman. Why is he a businessman? He don't have a building to build. But he have been doing business with you, with me, all the time. And he came to you and told you, if you lie, if you cheat little thing, you will gain more money. If you behave differently, you will get more friends. If you wore different clothes, you will be fancy. And what's happened sometimes, and most of the time, we bow to him. And then he go to another, and he offers the whole world, including you. And the other bow to him. And he go to a third one, and he offer everything, including you and your friend. And he's not losing anything because he don't own anything. People, they still think that money and the devil will give them something. I am Richard Raya. I grew up in Christian Missionary Alliance in Beirut. Received the Lord when I was 9 years old. Start ministry when I was 12. I got baptized when I was 16. Got a BA in law, BA in theology, and I am accomplished my Master of Divinity. My wife named Nazira. I have 3 kids: Michelle, girl 17; Brian, 16; and Samuel, 9. During the university age, God blessed me to be in the church planting team to plant a church for Christian Missionary Alliance in the area where is majority, totally Muslims, and got my experience working there. until in 2010, I applied to come to Canada as an immigrant. My wife is a nurse. We're supposed to have our visa in 6 months. And it's kind of recycling the suffering that you will face it when you have a normal thing we should come in special time. Then you have the visa delay for 5 years. 5 years. What did I do, Lord? Nothing. Usually we pray, ask the Lord about something. We are willing to have it now in this way, in my way. And this thing, I am willing to have something now and this way. And the Lord tell you, I have better thing for my glory in my time and in my way. But the problem that we need our thing in our way and now. And it's what's happened. I didn't have the answer until after 5 years I got it from the Lord. He told me, you don't recognize what I am preparing. You don't know what I am preparing, but you will recognize after. During these 5 years, God blessed me to start a school for Syrian refugees. 600 students or 8 teachers. Half of them Muslim background, half of them nominal Christian background. All of them become believers, got discipled. And also a couple of them who use Muslims in need, got knowing the Lord, baptized, discipled, studying in the Bible college, and now they are in Barrie, Ontario, planting a church. Another ministry, God blessed me during these 5 years. I was responsible about relief project for Christian Missionary Alliance, went in an area occupied by Hezbollah. If you heard about Lebanon, where now the houses got destroyed, it's there. I went there and faced this guy, lovely heart, very humble heart, a poor guy who has only small room as his house without furniture. He called the family, give me his phone with last units. I got touched. I raised a prayer for the Lord that he offered me to come to his house, tell him the story of the widow with the 2 pennies. It's what's happened. I come in, got shocked. He has 2 kids. One of them is the daughter of 6 years old, cannot talk, cannot see, cannot walk. It was a meat on the floor. I prayed for them, tell him the story from the Bible, invite him to the church. And couple of months, he received the Lord as a savior. For sure, he is Muslim. All the area is Muslims. His life got changed. He got a new job. And God healed his daughter. She start walking, talking, and seeing, which attract the whole family. And we start in this house a home church. Home church. His brother-in-law, sister-in-law, father-in-law, all came to see what Jesus did. And by the end of 5th year, God blessed me to have 25 home churches, 125 attendees, 25 believers, 5 leaders, all from Muslim background. And I was taking them out every 3 months to have a discipleship day for them. It's the answer I got it from the Lord. When I arrived in Ottawa, I was well-equipped, shaped, to serve with refugee in Ottawa. And we start what we name Hope Community Project. It's collective ministry between 10 churches, different denomination, to work with refugee in ESL project and Christmas party for kids. Every year we are doing parties for 500 child and get known 200 Syrian refugee family new and follow up them. Until one night, God gave me an open eye. I was pastoring a small church of 20 attendees, and one night I got 500 attendees. 230 Muslims and 270 nominal Christians here in Ottawa. And bunch of kids, their kids, which opened my eyes. There is 100,000 Arabic speakers in Ottawa, 1 million in all Canada, 80,000 in Alberta, imagine, 20 plus thousand in Edmonton. That's why I'm here. I have in my heart to have Arabic church here, maybe in this church, maybe otherwhere. But I am here to share the vision and tell you what God lead me and call me to do. In 2018, responding to this vision, we start ABC, and in that July 2018, and I invite my hairdresser, my mechanic, all my friends to greet me for the opening of the church. And I got surprised to have 46 attendees. We was expecting to be four, and we had 46. 25 of them stuck as a normal attendees in the church. ABC exists to make disciples from all Arabic speakers, from nominal Christian, Muslim, and others. Our value is worship, fellowship, discipleship. God bless us to have a good team for Hope Community, different churches to serve the refugee. And especially in COVID time, God extends the ministry. And it's become beyond Ottawa to all Canada. Some believer in Toronto, some in Sherbrooke, some in Windsor, and some even in Lebanon. And we have doing the ministry in Zoom, even the Christmas party in Zoom. Last July, we celebrate our sixth anniversary for ABC with Board of Advisor, Women Ministry, also a daughter church in Lebanon, 74 person who's attending with us every Sunday morning in Zoom, and also physical, beautiful physical attendees in Ottawa, and young adult ministry, teens ministry, outreach team. It's God what was blessing us until now. Last year, 2023, I had another dream to get some pastors go with me to Lebanon to catch the vision, to be in fire like me. And I had the most in fire brother. Pastor Dave Hearn went with me to Lebanon, and Pastor Leonard Lamb and Pastor Anita and Sister Vivian went to Christian Missionary Alliance Church in Beirut and the Bible College, and we had the opportunity to serve a school of Syrian refugee, very humble one, who used to be a cow farm, and through the donation of the team, we provide for them heating, panting, food basket, VBS, trauma healing. And we are aiming next year, September 2025, to go again, do renovation for their bathroom, and provide for them roofing for the playground. Another ministry we did is the discipleship for the home churches. Was expecting to have 65 believers. We got surprised to have 124, which affect our budget. Instead of renting three buses, we rent six buses, five cars, and one van. And we had a wonderful discipleship day. And God surprised me to have a baptism for one of the imam who got known Jesus from this ministry. Now he's studying theology in the Bible College of Christian Missionary Alliance in Beirut, and got accepted as a refugee to come to Regina, plant an Arabic church. Praise the Lord. Also, we got the opportunity to visit ABC Lebanon, Arabic Bible Church Lebanon, our daughter church. We are praying for their stability, to have their own pastor, their own facility, by God willing. During COVID, God extend also the ministry and put in my heart to gather all Alliance Arabic leaders, and we start what we name NAAL, Network Arabic Alliance Leaders. Our vision, our aim is to outreach 1 million Arabic speakers through a vision to plant 15 churches in the 15 biggest cities of Canada by sponsoring 15 leaders, Syrian refugee Muslims or Christian background, and have free online training with the Bible College in Beirut. Through LMT, loving Muslim together, I have this statistic that we have in Canada, 644 mosques. 68 of them in Alberta, 15 mosques in Edmonton. And in Edmonton, we have a small church, only one church. In Calgary, we have one church, and in Edmonton, we have one church. What's happened until now in Ottawa? To see, tell you, it was a dream, now it's reality. What's happened in Ottawa? In Ottawa, I had the heart to outreach 100,000 through planting four new ventures or four churches, one in the west, one in the east, one for Muslim background believers, home churches, one for Kurdish. We celebrate our sixth anniversary in ABC in the west. 2 weeks ago, one Sudanese leader, pastor, got licensing with Christian Missionary Alliance, and he started his church 8 months ago already. During COVID, while all churches are defeated in budget, God blessed us to raise 68,000 and have the Kurdish family in place. Now they are in Ottawa. And we are discerning to start Kurdish ministry. Also last year, God blessed us to raise fund to have this family. We didn't have it yet, but we have the fund. And we will start the process by the new year to have this family who's doing home churches in Beirut for Muslim believers. And we are aiming to have them in Ottawa. It's in my heart for all Canada, for different places. And we did a couple of sponsorship. For example, this couple who's leading worship. And for all Canada, what's happened until now, we start a discerning opportunity in Gatineau through this brother, in Kingston through Pastor Nadallah, in Melton with Pastor Wahid, with good congregation. He already have a congregation. We are praying for Giovanni, for Regina. We are praying for Sherbrooke through Brother Sayyah. And in January, we will be celebrating the first Arabic Alliance Church in BC. We didn't have any. We have a lot of Arabic, and we didn't have any. And it's happened the same. Last year, I was preaching in BC, in Fraserland Alliance Church, like now. And after the preaching, we have a prayer summit. And they are now in process to hire this pastor to have this church. A discussion happened now in Calgary about potential. I am praying for Edmonton to have a brother from Muslim background named Fadi. Don't take a lot of time to have his testimony and other things. Already the preaching already, it's went long. But I am praying that we will partnering together to accomplish a new dream, new vision, to keep going this vision by spending my time 75% national, visiting church, discerning opportunities, and planting church, and 25% in Lebanon, going to Lebanon, bring with me beloved pastor and brother and sister to catch the vision, doing ministry there, training leader, bring them here to plant the churches. I have a video of 5 minutes, the team who went to Lebanon. I am sure you are excited to hear Pastor Leonard Lam, Pastor Dave Hearn about their experience. Let's watch for 5 minutes, then we will conclude. Can you help me? It's not turning.
I had the privilege to be part of the Vision Trip Lebanon 2023.
While they are preparing the video, I will tell you. Remember the title? This morning, God will recycle your suffering to be a good weapon in your hand for your comfort and for the comfort of others. I told you a beautiful story, but you will not knowing how much it was painful, sorrowful, and God was recycling my suffering all the time for his glory. You heard about uncertainty and transition period a lot of time, and it's happened like David and Joseph, following the voice of the Lord without knowing the complete willing of him. And what's needed from you and you today is submit your willing under his willing. One of the sufferings that's happened with me during this 6 years, since we start ABC, my wife become bedridden. That means I will be held at home serving my kids. I have 3 kids. 6 years ago, they were little, and my wife, and I don't have time even for pastoring church. And look what's happened. You know why? It's because his power, his wisdom, and my weakness. That's why I am asking you today to submit your willing under his willing. And another spiritual war happened with me today. It's also this vision need stability. And I am working with refugees. That's why I'm asking to battle together, to partner together, supporting by prayer financially this vision. And you have a brochure already. You took it in the doors. And also praying for the mission committee and the church to make decision about doing those support. We don't have the video. Okay? It seems like we don't have the video. That's why I invite you for 3 things. First, there is an open door for short mission trip to Lebanon from September 16, 2025 to September 25. It's 9 days, short mission, for visiting the school, doing ministry of Syrian refugee, visiting ABC, visiting the Church of Christian Missionary Alliance, the Bible College, the home churches, do discipleship, and have a tourism in Lebanon, and also meeting potential leaders who's coming to Canada and catch the vision and come back and share. Second, supporting the vision by donating through the information, you have it in the flyers. And third, to pray for me and for ABC. I will ask you to pray together this morning. Please bow your head and raise your voice in your heart. Pray for the Lord. Tell the Lord this morning, I love you, Lord. I love you from my deep heart. Even my English language or Cantonese or Mandarin with all letters will not express how much I love you. But you know the beat of my heart. Lord, I am suffering today. And all the language, my native language with all letters, will not express how much I am suffering. But you are feeling the beat of my heart. This morning, I am submitting my willing under your willing to accomplish your vision, to recycle my suffering, be a good weapon in my hand, effective to comfort my heart and comfort others. In Jesus' name, amen.
I had the privilege to be part of the Vision Trip Lebanon 2023. I went to walk alongside, to see, to hear, to serve. What I wasn't prepared for was to the connections that you can establish in just a short week, to see those who are so committed to helping others. One of the things that really impacted me was going to the school, to see teachers who are just loving refugee students, and also to go to a Muslim background believer others. My heart was touched. I can't forget these people. It's so different when you actually go and meet people and start connections. If you're thinking about it, go.
Hi.